spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. How do you stay filled with the Spirit of God? Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. We have a problem with musical worship because we don't understand heaven. Because we love the earth more than we love the things of God. Right now, what's happening around the throne of Jesus is praise and adoration. The reason we worship to start the service is to get into alignment with what heaven's eternally doing. And from there, we live out the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you have no room to make melody in your heart to the Lord throughout your week, I can guarantee you this, there's no residue of heaven in your home. There's no residue of heaven in your marriage. There's no residue of heaven in your parenting. There's no prerequisite to sound good, to look good. There's a prerequisite only to honor the Lord from your heart. Jesus told the woman at the well, the time's coming and now is when the true worshipers of God won't worship on this mountain or that mountain, at this church or that temple or that high place, but they'll worship him in spirit and in truth, because God is spirit and he's seeking those to worship him in spirit and in truth. If the only time you crack this book is on Sunday, that's why you're dry on Thursday. If the only time you kneel is at the altar and not beside your bed, that's why you can't stand for God in the workplace. Your strength is connected to what's happening in the throne room of your heart. Where Jesus died to be enthroned was not just in the heavenlies. He died and was lifted up on the cross to be enthroned in the daily seat of your heart. That's what it is to be a follower. To say, Jesus, Jesus, be enthroned on my heart. The proverb says, guard your heart with all diligence, because from it flows the very course of the direction of your life. A heart that's allowed Jesus to be enthroned means a heart that Jesus is called Lord, and he's adored, and he's valued, and he's worshiped in. And no one else can take that seat of the throne room of your heart. And when Jesus becomes Lord, not just Savior, but Lord, and adored, and exalted, listen, he now becomes glorified through your life. The Lord gave me one prayer for the church for 2025. Prayed it for 2 hours on the drive from Fredericksburg back to Brownwood, Texas. May the Lord Jesus be exalted. May the Lord Jesus be adored. And may the Lord Jesus be glorified. What's the key, Brother Jason, for people seeing Jesus in you? Exalting him and adoring him. See, the problem is, beloved, is that for the majority of the Western church, we love Jesus' stuff more than we love Jesus. We love our scripted sermons and our scripted services more than we love Jesus as Lord. See, we do church from memory, not from intimacy. We do ministry from memory. Jesus said, I don't say anything unless I first hear the Father say it. And I don't do anything unless I first see the Father do it. Closeness, intimacy, dependency. You don't memorize the Christian life. You live yielded to the Holy Ghost. There is no other way. It's why he gave you a living guide on top of written words that are constant on a page, an anchor that we can always come back to. He gave you a living helper and guide in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, so neglected, so forgotten, so distant from so many of our churches. See, Jesus, beloved, is Lord over the church, but the Holy Spirit is Lord in the church. And we have to move into a place of dependency on the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows what's best for his people. Amen. Jesus knows what's best for his people. Amen. See, my job as a shepherd and every other shepherd in your life is to do one thing. point you to Jesus. To lead you and guide you in what it is to be led by the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question this morning is just really simple. How much of you does he have? Better question is, how much of you are you willing to free up? First question is easy to answer. He wants all of you to take you as his inheritance. The question is, how much are we willing for him to have? You know, one of the best places to worship the Lord and pray in the Spirit and keep a melody in your heart, pumping gas at Love's. It's a great place. Just right there at the pump. You are Alpha. Those dollar signs. And Omega. Jesus, I'm exalting you higher than this gas bill. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised. And I notice. See, I'm adoring him and I'm exalting him. And then I notice by the Spirit the car pulling up next to me. And I say, you are Alpha and Omega. Creepy prayer anointing's coming on me. My eyes are open at the gas pump now. We worship you, our Lord. And Jesus says, I set my love on him. The guy at the pump next to me. You are worthy to be praised. And I walked over to him. And I said, because God bless you is cheap. God bless you is for cowardly Christians. I still fall into it sometimes because I get the spirit of chicken that hits me. Spirit of chicken ever hit you? Oh no, you're bold as lions in Stillwater, right? Okay. I'm gonna have you all come and lay hands on me at the end of the service because I'm really struggling. You guys have it all figured out. I'm glad I'm here today. God bless you so cheap. Because God can be anything to many people. God, you really want to be growing in your discipleship. Look at people and say, Jesus loves you. Watch him. Some people. Something about Jesus. See, because when you name God and you expose that Jesus, because he's just even that name. Philippians says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Here on the earth and under the earth, they know Jesus is Lord of all glory. See, God can be lowercase g, can be my family shrine, can be my personal idol, can be anything. But when you say Jesus, 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 remember the old song? Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Can you smell? Can you smell the name of Jesus? It's beautiful. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. This is the important part. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. That's why they don't like it. But there's something about his name. His name. Jesus loves you. So I'm at the pump. You are Alpha. Oh, wait, I got to. You are Alpha. And she said, I've set my love on him. Who? Oh, this guy. Lord, spirit of chicken's trying to come on me. I walk up to him and my heart's picking up beat, even though I'm singing. You are Alpha. Okay, let me be honest. I wasn't singing the song, but it was the posture of my heart. Just worshiping the Lord. You got to be worshiping God all day. If you want to be any good at this thing, you need to worship him every day, not just Sunday. So I walked up to him and just something. I just looked at him and I said, brother, said, Jesus loves you. And the Lord's telling me to tell you that his eyes are still on you. Big guy, tatted up guy, put his head down and he said, I'm close to giving up. I just put my hand on him and we prayed. Simple prayer. Lord, remind this man that you love him and you see him in tears. He said, I can't tell you how much I needed this. And I just walked back to my car. You are Alpha and Omega. When Jesus is adored, when Jesus is exalted, he's easily glorified through your life. Do you know why we don't witness to Jesus and of Jesus more? It's because he's not adored and exalted. What's adored and exalted? My next meeting. Because all life is about meetings. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's about who's in the meeting. It's about how you can bless who's in the meeting. It's about how you can display Christ and not just be another anointed jerk in the meeting. It's about how you can bring heavenly insights and add value to your employer because you want to bless even your enemy. Some of you didn't catch that. You want to bless and do not curse. See, the meeting is just an opportunity for Jesus to be glorified, represented. See, the problem why your life is dull and why you feel lacking in purpose is because you were made to do one thing, host him and introduce him to others. And when you do that, you'll never be bored a day in your life again. Cast four demons out of a guy one time in the McDonald's parking lot. That's not boring. You know why? Because whenever you're glorifying Jesus, it clashes with the principalities around you. You're bored? You don't need Netflix. You need to cast demons out of people. You're bored? You don't need more football. You need to lay hands on the sick and see him recover. You're bored? You're purposeless? Well, first of all, you're stuck on yourself. That's all it is pride. Get your eyes on Jesus. You don't exist for you. You're not here for yourself. The scripture says if you're a believer that your very body belongs to the Lord. You're not in charge of anything. Jesus. Your life is Jesus. Your life is Jesus. Paul says that we live and move in him and have our very being. We'll get to Zephaniah in a minute. I guess we'll close with it. You thought I forgot. I didn't forget. We're just following the Holy Ghost. How many of you deeply desire for people to see Jesus in your life? Be honest. Don't lie in church. If you don't raise your hand, if you don't want that, it's okay. Everyone's at different stages. Some of you are just trying to figure this out. Some of you are wondering, how long is this guy going to be talking? Some of you are wondering, why did I even come today? That's okay. We're all at different places and stages. But raise your hand one more time. If you desperately desire for Jesus to be seen in your life, is it okay if I tell you all my successes and not my failures? Okay, good. Next week when I'm back, we'll talk about failures. Maybe. Had a guy working on our house, contractor. You're doing such a great job. Are you okay? You need a break? Okay, keep going. And had a guy working on our house and a couple weeks, you know, worth of work. Well, actually a couple months. And last days of the project, he called me Mike. And his name's Caleb. And I said, hey, Caleb, how you doing? He said, well, we're on track, this, and this. I said, that's great. I said, but honestly, Zach, I've only ever talked to him over the phone. He came to my house. I wasn't there. He met my wife, my kids. But I've only dealt with him over the phone. I've never seen him in person. He called me, and he said, I actually didn't call you to ask you about the house. Oh, no, he called me, ran through everything. And then at the end, he says, can I ask you now a question, not about the house? I said, sure. He says, kind of a personal question. I said, those are my favorite. Keeps life exciting. He said, I just have to know, how do you have the family that you have? How do you have the house that you have? I guess I'm really asking Zach, how do I get a life like you have? I've only talked to this man over the phone. I've never met this man. See, any good thing in me, you guys know, right, is Jesus. Zach Backus, and he died a long time ago. He was kind of a drag. We had to put him down. So Paul says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. See, the thing that scares us and scares the immature portion of the church is that you think dying to you, you lose yourself. But the reality is, when you die to you and you let God live through you, you become the most you you've ever been in your entire life. Beloved, listen to me. I can't tell you how free I am. It's beautiful. You know, one time up here, I have not thought whether or not you like my singing. Could care less. Haven't thought one time, I wonder if they'll come back after today. Don't care. Do you know why? Because you belong to Jesus. And Jesus will take you wherever you're supposed to be. And it also helps too that I'm not the campus pastor here, so I don't have to care about those things. Praise God. And Will's my buddy, so he's going to forgive me for today. Give an opportunity to practice forgiveness. Don't you want to be free? So many people in the church, Justin, they're saved, but they're not free. You know who's a way bigger problem than the devil? You. Everybody wants to fight the devil. Want to fight the devil, but not able to crucify that bad attitude yet. Wanting to fight the devil, but stub their toe and everything except speaking in tongues comes out. Ready to fight the devil, but don't come to church when it's raining. Ready to fight the devil, but still tough to trust God with your finances. No, no, no. Listen to me, beloved. You're not fighting the devil. You're fighting yourself. You've been the problem all along. And I wish you could cast out the flesh, but you can't. Flesh, you got to kill. You got to crucify it. See, here's the altar call that Jesus gave. The church has watered it down because we're scared. And most preachers are scared. That's just the truth. We're trying to get over it, but we're the same as you, just people. We've watered down the gospel. See, we preach things like this. Whenever Jesus says, if anybody wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. We make that sound like a year 10 goal as a Christian. It's a stretch goal. Just get into this, try it out, test drive the car, see if you like the heated seats of Jesus. And if you're ready to commit, we'll get a payment plan together and eventually you'll own this thing, because that's the way the world operates. There's no test driving the Lord Jesus Christ. Far be it from us to treat the Lord Jesus Christ like a Tesla. No, no, no. Jesus is God of all glory. Jesus is the one that was exalted high on the cross and now is exalted above every other name. You don't test out Jesus. You either bend the knee or you don't. Jesus doesn't change. His posture is the same, gentle and kind, yet full of all glory, merciful and mild, yet could fry anybody to the toenails if he wanted to. Capable of everything, yet restrains himself to be just pure love. To be the king you've always wanted, a good king, just. To be the father you always needed, never impatient, but always kind. That kills me. I got 5 kids, Mike. I'm working on the kindness thing. See, the altar call is this, and some of you are going to get saved for the very first time today. The altar call has always been, if you want to follow Jesus, you got to be willing to die to you, and you got to be willing to take up your cross, and you got to be willing to follow him. That's day one, and day two, and day three. That's the altar call. That's not what you get to someday. That's what you commit to at the beginning, knowing that you can't do it. That's why you ask for the Holy Spirit to fill you. And that's why the best thing you can do is to pray that every day. People ask me, once saved, always saved, this or that, blah, blah, blah. I tell them, do what I do. Get saved every morning. It's best experience. One time baptized in the Spirit, speaking in tongues? No, every day. And yeah, speak in tongues every day. That's the problem, is we view it as a one-time thing. Anybody married? Raise your hand. How's the marriage working out if you just view it as a one-time thing? My favorite line from husbands when I do marriage counseling, marriage coaching. Not my favorite thing to do, by the way. Favorite line from husbands. Always the husbands, never the wives. Well, of course I love you. I'm here. I just don't know if he loves me. Well, of course I love you. I haven't left. And that's our mentality with the Lord. Of course I love you, God. I do, blah, 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 blah. I'm here, just going through the motions. We sang a song about that today, didn't we? Service started at 10:30. We'll quit in 15 minutes. You got an hour and a half in you. You can do more than you think you can. Why don't you get back into that posture of prayer for me? Listen to Zephaniah chapter 3. The Lord your God is in your midst. Jesus opened this scripture to us. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. And he will exult over you with loud singing. Beloved, when we gather and when we scatter from this place, we have to believe that Jesus is constantly in our midst, and we have to repent of how we continually ignore him, because he's in our midst to do a particular thing, to save us continually. My God, I need help every hour. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one. He's the only one. The Lord your God's in your midst, a mighty one who will save. Put your hand on your heart if you need saving every day. He will rejoice over you with gladness. God's in your midst to put his spirit of joy on you, even in the midst of dark seasons. He will quiet you by his love when your mind is running anxious thoughts and insomnia has gripped your heart and all those sleepless nights. Get your eyes on Jesus, and for God's sake, stop scrolling on Facebook. Look to his face. He is in your midst. He will quiet you with his love. Listen, he will exult over you with loud singing. A beautiful thing happens, beloved, when you start carrying a worshipful heart and you start honoring Jesus in your midst. Your ears open and you hear him singing back to you. When you start ministering for Jesus, oh, beloved, one of the most amazing things happen. You figure out that the only reason you're doing it is because he's eternally ministering to you. Philippians says that it's God at work in you, giving you both the power and the desire to do that which pleases him. Jesus is in our midst because he's in the middle of you. And he's at work in you, giving you both the power and the desire to do that which pleases him. God is so good. The gospel is such scandalous news that even on the days that you don't desire to follow him, if you yield to him, he'll give you the desire. You don't have to generate a false desire. You just have to acknowledge, God, I do not desire prayer today. I do not desire worship from the heart today. I desire to veg out and check out and be rude and be first and get my way. But I know that you're at work in me, giving me both the power and the desire to do that which pleases you. Lady right here that's wiping your face, will you stand up for a minute? Just stand up right where you are. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Yeah, right here with the leopard cheetah print on. If you believe God and you trust that the Holy Spirit will touch her, just reach your hand out toward her right now. Just open up your hands just like this. Receive this. I'm about to speak over you. I say over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the night season is over, that the long cold winter is over. I lift off of you in the name of the Lord Jesus that yoke of oppression, of mental anguish, of emotional pain, and every arrow that's been shot at you through the traumas of this life, I command right now to be removed. And I pray right now, Father, that you fill her with your Holy Spirit from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And I speak against the spirit that whispers in her ear, coulda, shoulda, woulda, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Be quiet in the name of Jesus. I speak to your past and that realm of past and the prayer, God, if I would have known, if I would have known this, I would have done that. If I would have known, no. No, you are white as wool. You are washed. You are clean. Your past no longer stands in the courts of heaven. And I break the yoke of the accuser against your life. And I say from this moment on, step into the garments of daughtership that he has for you. Fully and confidently, the prayers that you've interceded for your entire family line shall be accomplished. I speak a washing of your entire bloodline in Jesus' name. All the duress, all the accusation, all the abuse, it's washed in Jesus' name. Right now, out of her life, we say, in the name of Jesus, crown her, Father, with that crown of daughtership. Right now, Father, wrap your arms of radical love around her. He's taking you to new heights. You will breathe full, clean air. You will see above the situations. He'll awaken you in the night to pray for those that he's laid on your heart. And you will see the tides turn in the battles of those that you love. You've stayed true. Cling to his feet. Cling to his feet. See those nail holes in his feet. And said, and he's saying to you, my feet were pierced so that your feet could be freed from the snare of the devil. Run into your divine destiny. Love, love boldly. No more apologizing for the name of Jesus on your lips and on your life. No more concern about who you'll offend, even within your own family. The snickering, the mocking, I command it to stop in Jesus' name. Wherever it is, wherever it's located, heard or unheard, your voice lifted up as a voice, a righteous trumpet in your house to boldly declare the things of God. To boldly declare the things of God. Somebody give God praise. Hallelujah.